Hello, this is Evangelist Vincent Skinner, and you are listening to my podcast. I hope it blesses and stirs a hunger for God in you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch your life through this teaching. Thank you for tuning in, and God bless.
Isaiah 40, verse 31, it says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint." And once again, the Lord did change what I was going to say. But I want to not talk too long about the Christian in light of that verse. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. The life of the Christian in the life of an eagle. And of course, it starts with the egg. Everybody say the egg. And the little chick is in the egg there. And the moment comes, you know, the mother's created this beautiful, soft, lined nest and it's comfortable, and the eggs are in there. And the moment comes when that little eaglet starts to work itself out of the egg. And it begins to peck. Have you ever seen a bird try to get out of an egg? I mean, it's tough work. It's hard work, and it has to work itself out of the egg and all that. Now, here's the thing about a bird. If somebody said, "Well, I feel so bad for that little bird. Let me reach down in there and help it because it looks like it's struggling. It's so small and it's so weak. I'm going to reach out there and just help it out of the egg and get that little eaglet out of the egg." So that, do you know what you do? You actually ruin the bird. The bird comes out of the egg, and it can't live. It dies, because in the struggle to get out of the egg, that bird actually develops the necessary muscles and things that it's required to be able to live. Now, if you think of that in the life of a Christian, you know, we often, and you look in this Western world today, Christians just want it easy. They're crying out, "Where's the guy that's going to help me out of this moment?" But you've got to understand something. In the crucibles of life, God has designed things in the exercise of your faith that there are things that you must go through. There are the Goliaths of the world that you have to face. There are the issues and the struggles that come your way. And each and every one of those circumstances is an opportunity for you to get out and to develop the necessary stamina, the stamina of faith that you need. You see. So that eagle comes out. And I really don't want to talk. This is a long message, but I want to make it really short. Okay. So the eaglet comes out, and you can imagine maybe there's one egg, so there's several eaglets there. And they're having a great time. They're sitting in there in that soft nest. And mom with a big, every day she comes and she hovers over the nest and she brings food to them. Have you ever seen a little bird? All they do is like, "Feed me. Feed me. Feed me." All they're doing is eating, sleeping, and pooping. That's all they're doing. And life is good. And I tell you what, there is a stage like that in the Christian life that it's easy. The Lord actually makes it a little easy for you, and it's kind of the honeymoon stage. You know, it's a little bird. You've got to protect it, you've got to feed it. And many Christians, they go through this stage. And everything is fine. And this is actually a stage what we would say many believers, they experience revival. Yeah. Revival hits them. It's so good. I mean, they're in the momentum of it. The river is flowing and they're going, "Woo, man, this is powerful." And all they're doing is eating and sleeping and receiving and eating. And receiving. Life is good. Tell somebody life's good. And they're just there. You know, mom represents God. you know, the environment, the protection. And there is a protection sense in the move of God that protects the believer in the beginning. All right? The eaglets grow up. They're getting bigger. They're getting stronger in that protected environment, in that soft nest. And it feels so good. I feel so comfortable. This is wonderful, man. Let's go reach and touch the world. But they haven't even left the nest. Their feathers are still all fluffy. And they get older, they get bigger. And one day one of the siblings turns to the other one and says, "Hey, man. Have you noticed we've got he's got these appendages to our side here as well?" And they kind of flap it around. So what are we supposed to do? "Oh, we don't know, man, but they seem to be getting bigger." And they're in that soft nest. But you've got to understand, the eagle builds its nest way up there on the side of a cliff, the side of a mountain, all right? And mom comes and just feeds them. They just open their mouth. And they just eat and eat and sleep and eat and eat and sleep and eat and eat and eat and sleep. Man, it becomes routine. Revival. Life is good. Tell somebody, life's good. One day, just like any other day, mom comes and hovers over them with her huge wings. And they look up and they say, "Man, isn't that amazing? Look at those wings. Isn't that amazing?" But something's different. They kind of sense something's different because mom's doing it, but there's no food. They're going, "Give us more food. We're enjoying." And this time, instead of bringing food to the little birds, that are now getting stronger, mom comes and she reaches down into the center of that soft lining of the nest, and she takes a chunk of the lining out and she rips it out and throws it down the side of the mountain. They say, "What's going on?" Has mom gone mad? She reaches again in and grabs another soft lining and rips it out until all the comfort is gone. And there's only the jagged part of the nest with the jagged sticks and thorns, and you know the birds, they can't find a comfortable spot. They say, "What's up with mom? It's not comfortable anymore. What has happened to the comfort of revival? What's happened to revival? It used to be so easy. It just happened." How often in the move of God do we hear people saying, "Well, it wasn't like it used to be. Why does it seem so uncomfortable now? Why do the it's sticking in my side. It's sticking in my leg. It's sticking in the thing. Why? What's changed?" You know what? God came and ripped out your comfort. He's more interested in your character than your comfort. You know? Because you see, something else the Lord does. There's the eaglets in there trying to find a comfortable spot. They get the feeling something has changed. They're looking at each other and saying, "Man, what's going on?" And this time mom comes in, and instead of, because there's nothing else soft to yank out, and instead of coming in, mom comes and grabs one of the birds. And flies all the way up to the top of the mountain, right on the edge of the cliff. And they say, "Well, thank God I'm there." And then she proceeds to dump the bird over the edge. And the little eaglet's like, all the way down, and say, "She's killed me. She's killed me. I'm going to die." And seeing the certain death coming, racing towards the bird. And right before the impact of death, the mother eagle swoops down and catches the little bird on her back, swoops up in the bed, the bird says, thank God, I've been saved. But you know what happened? The mother tick goes right back up to the top and dumps the bird all over again. Now think about that. Think about the work of the Holy Ghost in our life. Think about revival. You see, how else? Some of us, we will never leave the nest. We are so comfortable. We are so addicted to comfort. We are so addicted to easiness. We are so addicted to everything going right that when it goes wrong, when suddenly the soft lining is yanked out, you know what we do at that moment? We say, well, we better bind the devil. Well, maybe it's not the devil. Maybe it's God trying to grow you up. Come on now. How else are you going to learn to fly? Why leave the nest? Everything's good. Everything's easy. Get fed every day. Don't even have to wipe my own bottom. Seriously. Some Christians, they're 37 years old, in their 40s, and they're still wearing diapers. They've not left the nest, and they're still expecting God just to come and drop the tidbits. They don't want to leave the nest. And what I mean by leaving the nest, they don't want to grow up as believers, as Christians. They remain, being a baby is so comfortable. The problem with being the baby is you never leave the nest. You never go and really truly experience what the purpose is for those appendages growing on your side. Your spiritual gifts, your purpose, the God's plan in your life. The reason why you're born. Now the mother eagle takes that bird that thought it was about to die, and mom had lost her mind for sure. And that takes her right up to the top, dumps a little bird over, and really it all depends on the teachability of the bird. How many times must mom dump that bird up off of the side of the cliff to imminent death before that little bird says, wait a minute, maybe she's trying to teach me something. Think about it. How many things in our life do we face? And we think to ourselves, wait a minute, we faced this before. It's happened again. It's happening again. Maybe God's trying to teach you to say, hey, have faith in me. Take my word. Practice it. Exercise it. Stand on it. Learn to fly. Some of you have been dumped off the side of the cliff about 3,451 times, and you're on your way back up. Come on now, am I telling the truth? You got to figure it out. Why is the devil against me? No, the Lord's trying to teach you. It's not, look, you. He's trying to get you. Look, the nest is messed up. You're never going to go back. The softness of the lining is gone. Mom ripped it out. She's not taking you back to the nest. And what's back at the nest anyway, just except a bunch of jagged pieces of branches that are sticking in your side. Come on now. So the bird says, okay, wait a minute, she's trying to teach me. God, he's trying to teach me something. Tells me he's trying to teach you something. Maybe I'll try, wait a minute, right before mom came and grabbed me and took me to that top of the mountain and dumped me over the side. She did something to us. She hovered over us, over the nest. And we looked up and said, wow, look at that. Wait a minute. Maybe I need to try. So next time the little bird escapes imminent death, he's taken up back up to the top of the mountain and dumped over. Bird says, this time I'm going to try it. And out goes the bird, and the bird says, wait a minute. And it's a little bit shaky at first, a little bit wobbly, but whoo, there goes the bird. There it is, and starting to fly. But guess what? Away it goes. Mom then turns around and go gets the other one. Look, this message meant a lot to me in my life, because I won't confess how many times I've been dumped over the side of the mountain. But the truth is, recognize that often when things come against you, often when it's seemingly that way, it's an opportunity to stand on the Word of God and to fly.
Amen.
You can't be a baby all your life. There comes a time when you have to leave the nest and you have to go out and you need to stand on your own two feet. You can't, a little baby wants to drink from its mother. But if they reach a certain age, it's just wrong. When it's a baby, it's right, and it's cute, and it's beautiful. But when it grows up, it's just wrong. How many believers still just want mama's milk? Still just wants the milk because they don't want to leave the nest. The problem is they're growing, time is going, and it's time to stand up and grow up and take life on. You know? It's not about faith isn't how you feel. It's got nothing to do with your feelings. Come on now. Turn to somebody and say, don't do that. So that's really what, I was sitting there thinking to myself, these are the messages we're hearing constantly, week after week after week after week. Have faith. Get out of the nest. Fly! Many of you are facing the same issue week after week after week. How many times do you have to be dumped off the side of the cliff? Some of you, the issues you're facing, you were facing 10 years ago. Come on now, am I telling the truth?
Yes.
When? Will it kick in? Now, the other thing about the eagle, you see, because what Mom was trying to teach her, you see, that this is what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach you, you see. Because that scripture there that I read in the beginning says, they that mount up with wings like eagles, they will run and not grow weary. What it means is, you see, the eagle is not like the other birds, you see. The other birds, they flap their way. Have you ever seen a turkey try to fly? It is one of the most beautiful birds out there. Have you ever seen a turkey? You see, you need to learn to be an eagle, not a turkey. You see, you've got the bottom dwellers. A turkey is a bird, but you wonder if it ever was created to fly. You see, the eagle that goes up to the top, right up there, the same place that Mom dumped the bird over when it was young. it goes there. And it spreads out its wings. It waits. They that wait upon the Lord. And it waits. And the eagle looks. And oh, glory be to God. There is a storm coming.
Come on.
The greater the storm, the more excited the eagle gets.
Yes.
He has the dark clouds with lightning and thunder. And then but you know what's happening to all the other birds? They're running, they're hiding, they're scurrying away. They're a bunch of turkeys. They never did learn to fly. So when they see the storm, they hide, they run, they go this way, they go that way, they're trying to get away. But the eagle, when it sees that storm, because you know why? There's wind currents in that storm like no other place. And it just waits. It just waits. And here comes the storm and here comes the wind currents. And it just waits, it waits, it waits. And when it feels the wind under its wings, it just mounts up. And then it goes higher and higher and higher and higher and circles right up above, far above the storm. See, that's a Christian eagle. You don't run from the storm. You recognize, man, this is an opportunity for the for the power of God to be displayed. This is an opportunity to exercise my faith and to rise up above it. This is an opportunity to face it head on, and here I go.
Yes.
Woo!
Amen.
Come on, so tell somebody, don't be a turkey.
Don't be a turkey.
The only good thing of a turkey. Don't be a turkey. Be an eagle. Tell somebody, get out of the nest. If you don't, God will do it for you. Tell somebody else, learn your lesson. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's my message tonight. Because I really felt some of you, man, come on, it's time. It's time. How many times do you have to be dumped over the side? How many times, you know, if you like the ones that don't ever learn to fly, they're the turkeys. You want to be a turkey? That's an ugly bird. It tastes good, but it's ugly. Have you ever seen a turkey try to fly? It's a painful experience. I mean, the noises that come out of that thing, that struggle, and I mean, it's terrible. See, some Christians, they flappers. You can see it. There's so much energy put into something that does not work. Come on, am I telling the truth? Because they've not learned their lessons. They've not learned the things that God is trying. They've begged for somebody to help them out of the egg. They want to stay in the nest. They love comfort. They just want the, come on, just feed me, feed me, feed me. I want to take no responsibility. I just want God to do it all for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand up and stretch out your wings.
Talk about the old eagles.
Oh, the old eagles. Yeah. One of the things the old eagles do up there on the mountain is what it is. Because it talks about dying to the old and being renewed. And what they do is they go up there and they stretch themselves up over like that in the sun, and they stay there for a long, long time, and they lose their feathers, they lose their talons, they lose their beaks, they lose everything. They're totally vulnerable and exposed. And then it all grows back. The beak, the talons, the feathers. And when everything has grown back, they are now renewed. The old is gone. They're now renewed into a new strength, and the eagle then goes, stands up and mounts up and flies away.
Amen.
See, some of you, you know, we're talking about the young ones growing up, but that's on the other side. Maybe you've been in the way for a long time and you just feel, oh my God, I am tired. It happens. But you see, you can go get renewed. He can renew you and renew your strength.
Yes.
You see, and you can mount up and he can renew your youth. Yeah. Your strength. Come on. How many of you need that? Yeah. You need to allow the Lord to kind of take you through that process. Because if you don't, that beak it's terrible. That talents, they gnarly. Then you need new ones. You know what? You can't do it outside of the Lord. He is the one. In that sun, think of the sun, the heat, the warmth. It's the sun. It says S-U-N, but that is the S-O-N. His warmth, His glory, His presence. He comes and he strengthens you. And it's in the process of being under that environment of the sun and the heat that the eagle finds its renewal. Hallelujah. And I kind of think that's what was happening in the beginning here when Pastor Corey made the altar call. You know, sometimes you can be barely in your 20s. But you already feel old. See, it's got nothing to do with age. You know how that happens to us? Some of us, we feel old because we are old. So whichever one you are, it's fine. But you know how we get tired? We get tired because we try to do it in our own strength. It gets difficult. When you do it in your own strength. And the way you do it in your own strength is when you do it outside of your love for God. And you just go through the motions and you end up doing it. And you ask yourself the question later, what is the reason? Why am I actually doing this? You've lost it. You see, if you do it outside of beyond and not because you love Him, then why are you doing it? We are children of God, not slaves. Children do it because they love. Slaves do it because they have no choice. And we are children of God. And let's be careful that we're not around the presence of God, not around the anointing, not around all these things, and yet getting touched, but it's not touching us. It's not touching us. Like I've always said to you, if you go stand in front of a bus, whether you like it or not, that bus is going to smack you. Be careful that's not all you're doing with the power of God. Because if you go position and you say, touch me, I just want the touch, you'll just get the touch. But you want more than that. You want that encounter. See, there's a difference between a touch and an encounter. Amen. An encounter, it changes you. You've encountered Him. A touch, if you really want just a touch, go stick your finger in that light socket. It's very similar. In other words, it's just touching you on the outside. You're not getting touched on the inside. There's no encounter. It doesn't, there's no moving of your heart. Because you see, if you lose that pursuit of Him, that love for Him, you'll get all dry and crusty and that's what happens. Amen. And that was actually the word several times the last couple of weeks. It's like the Lord's repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Come on now. Don't let it ever just be a touch. Come on. Is that it really? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to invite the Lord, and we're going to say to him, Lord, you can come and rip out the soft lining in my nest. I invite you. Say it. Lord, come. Come and rip out the soft lining. I'm ready. Let those jagged sticks stick me in the side. Lord, if that's what it takes to get me out of my comfort. Lord, take me to the top of the mountain. Yes, I want that mountaintop experience. Oh, Lord, take me up. They say, Lord, take me up. He'll take you up so that you can. Sometimes you have to experience failure. Sometimes you have to experience those things that you go through so you can learn to fly. When you're no longer addicted to just being comfortable, what can I get out of this? Because you see, that's how some people treat God. They say, I'll serve you, Lord, as long as you do what I want you to do for me. As long as you keep feeding my selfishness, my comfort. How do we grow up? We've got to grow up by just being what we call navel gazers. Looking for that fluff that gets caught in our navel. We got to get out of that self. And become Christ motivated, become eternally minded. You know, me, myself, and I worship me. See, you can't worship you when he's taken out the soft lining. You can't worship you when he dumps you off the side of the cliff. You're going to have to look and say, wait a minute, I need to trust God. I can't do it in my own strength. See, Christians need to get out of the addiction of self and out of the addiction of comfort. Especially here in the West, in America. Well, it doesn't feel comfortable. Oh my gosh, Pastor Corey's trying to make me take another Bible course for another month. I'm losing my sleep. Really, that's the worst you can face in life? I thought I'd just mention that, Pastor Corey. Seriously, I mean, think about this. There's other believers out there dying. In fact, they say that martyrdom on the planet right now is the highest it's ever been. And we're worried about our comfort, our sleep. Amen. I want you to say, really make a decision. It does not matter. Look, if the Lord requires it of me, you know, you remember the donkey that Jesus needed to ride on? He said, go and tell them that the Lord has need of it. Or maybe the Lord has need of you.
Yeah, come on.
Imagine if that owner said, that's my donkey. Get out of here. Well, the Lord has need of you. A powerful portion of scripture is Isaiah 6. I saw the Lord high and lifted up and his train filling the temple. And when I saw the glory of the Lord, he says, I said, oh, woe is me, for I am a sinful man amongst a sinful people. And an angel came in with some tongs, took out some fiery coals and touched my lips. And he said, and he basically said, your words are cleansed, your lips are cleansed. And then you hear the words coming out of the throne, and it's really from the Trinity saying, who will go for us? Who shall we send? Think about that. Talk about an example of the Great Commission right out of Isaiah 6. Glory of God, power of God, the throne. It's really a picture of Pentecost. See, Pentecost is not just it's not just that you speak in tongues, that you fall over, that you get drunk and you have joy. Pentecost is a moment where the Lord says, who will go for us? Remember what he said, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you will receive power to be my witnesses. In other words, somebody that will go and will do his will. Somebody that will go and preach the gospel. Somebody that will live the life. It also means that the word witness there also means martyr. Now that somebody that has said, my life is not my own, it belongs to you, even if it means death. That's the true meaning of that. Pentecost, yes, is a place of empowerment. Yes, is a place where you speak in tongues. Yes, the tongues of fire. Yes, all those things. But Pentecost sets you apart. It breaks you free from your old life. Breaks you free from the comfortable nest. And empowers you. Puts a fire in you where you say, I will go all the way. I'm not a half-measured believer. How do you know if somebody's truly received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire? You know how you know? They're all the way in. Some Christians, they speak in tongues. They have all the evidences of that, but their heart, their life has not caught up yet. Because they're conditional. They're conditional. There's conditions. I tell you what, this kind of message is going to become more and more and more as the time grows near. Because we can't afford. Jesus is coming back for a church without spot and wrinkle. Not a church that is half measured. The fire of God, I want the fire. Do you know what the fire does? It comes to burn out and separate. It comes to do a cleansing and a consecration. And we might as well do our song, You Provide the Fire. So really, some of you need to get out of your nest. You need to make that choice. Some of you need to start to say, you know what? I'm not going to be stuck on the things that are keeping me stuck any longer. Look, how many times are you going to blame the devil? Maybe he has nothing to do with it. Because what if you rebuke the devil and he leaves, but you still have the same problem? Is it still the devil?